Great song service. I want you to find Revelation chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 1. John says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." There is a beast lurking in the shadows of this world. I want you to learn something about this beast. As you should know by now, the end times are unraveling right in front of our very eyes. And the first thing I want you to see is the advent of the beast. Just as there was a first and will be a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a coming of the beast. Because Satan is the great imitator. Anything the Lord does, he wants to copycat. You know, he wants to imitate that. Now, the sea that's mentioned in verse 1 represents the nations of this world in turmoil. We don't have to guess about that. I'm going to show you one place in the Old Testament that tells us that, and one place in the New Testament. In Isaiah 57 and verse 20, it says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea." There's the word. Was it referring to the wicked? "When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." And then in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15, "And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, the peoples are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So out of this sea of nations, possibly the European common market, will come the Antichrist. But I not only want you to see the advent of this beast, I want you to see the ancestry of this beast. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." If there was ever a man whose father is the devil, this is it. I want you to notice the family likeness there in verse 1. You see somebody with 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, what's that speak of? We talked about that earlier in our study. Revelation 12, verse 3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." Well, who is this great dragon? Well, look at verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Do you see the family likeness? He's a chip off the old block. When Jesus was here on the earth, he said, "Anybody who's seen me has seen the Father." Well, when this false Messiah comes, he's going to be able to say, "Anybody who's seen me has seen my Father." Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible Father. And the Antichrist is the visible expression of the invisible devil. We've seen so far that the sea represents nations in turmoil, but what are these 10 horns? Well, that's the revived Roman Empire. Now, we're not going to get into a lot of that right now, but keep that in mind. I not only want you to see the family likeness, I want you to see the family lineage. What do these animals in verse 2 stand for? Well, they stand for past world empires. And we don't have to guess about that. Back in Daniel chapter 7, he gives us an outline of world history. And there we find the lion kingdom was Babylon. The bear kingdom was Medo-Persia. The leopard kingdom was Greece under Alexander the Great. And this beast is going to inherit all of the beastly characteristics of these three kingdoms. He's going to be a composite of all the great world leaders who have served under Satan. In other words, he's going to be a distillation of the Caesars, the Napoleons, the Hitlers, the Jim Joneses, the David Koreshes, all of them rolled into one. And the world that rejected the Lamb is going to receive the beast. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 43, he said, I have come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Now, they're going to receive that spotted leopard, but they wouldn't receive the spotless lamb. Rather than have the grace of our Lord, they're going to be in the grasp of the bear. And rather than having the blessings of the Lord, they're going to experience the bite of the lion. But now, I want you to see the family legacy. Verse 2 says, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. The devil, who's the father of this son of perdition, is going to give him a legacy of great power. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 that the man of sin will come. And how will he come? With all power and signs and lying wonders. He receives that from his father, the devil. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus Christ, but the unholy spirit will empower the Antichrist. Now, the reason the Antichrist doesn't have full power today, if he's alive today, and I think he might be, is because he's being restrained by the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit today? If you're saved, he's in you. And that restraining power is going to be taken out of the way by means of the rapture. We're going to be out of here. There won't be any Holy Spirit left and on earth. And the man of sin is going to be revealed. And he'll be turned loose on this world now that he doesn't have that restraint anymore. And you're going to see all kinds of lying wonders and signs and powers. And when that happens, folks, you might as well try to dam up Niagara Falls with toothpicks, as to try to hold back the evil that's going to be unleashed on this world. When the salt, that's us, is taken out, then the corruption begins. You know, you use salt to keep your meat from corrupting if you're trying to make some jerky or something. But when that salt's gone, the corruption starts, and he's going to be able to convince people that up is down, that good is bad, that black is white. He'll be able to control you to such a degree you'd slit your own mama's throat. It's not only the advent of the beast and the ancestry of the Antichrist, there's also the appeal of the beast. Now, you wouldn't think he'd have any appeal at all. But in Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So he's going to have universal appeal. Now that the church and the Holy Spirit is taken out. And when I say beast, don't get the idea that I'm talking about his appearance. This doesn't refer to his appearance. It refers to his character. Even the devil himself, who's described as a dragon, the Bible says can appear as an angel of light. This Antichrist, he's probably going to be very handsome, very charming, very witty, very intelligent. He's going to be a global charmer. And his popularity is going to be wrapped up in something that happens to him. He's going to receive a deadly wound, but then he's going to be resuscitated. That's just a satanic imitation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what a wonder this is going to appear to be. In Daniel 8, verse 25 says it'll be by peace, not war, that he'll destroy many. And now I want you to notice the ambition of the beast. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? His first ambition is to deify himself. He wants to be worshiped. You say, well, will man really worship another man as God? Listen, they worshiped Mao Zedong. The goose-stepping Nazis would say, Heil Hitler, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil. They worshiped the devil-inspired Lenin in Russia. People for decades now have gone by that glass mausoleum in Red Square to see Lenin. They, in a sense, still worship him. And the only time they ever closed down Red Square is to take Lenin out and wash his body with formaldehyde. After all, they don't want to wash their dirty linen in public. So, some of you will get that later. But it's always been the devil's desire to be worshipped. So his first ambition is to deify himself. His second ambition is to defy God. Look at verses 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. Now notice this. And them that dwell in heaven. Guess who that is? Us. He's going to be blaspheming us too. You see, he hates the rapture. He'll lie to the people that are left on earth and say the only reason we got taken is because God was punishing us. He'll say that's God's judgment on us. He can't touch God. He can't touch the saints in glory. So he'll be reduced to name calling. And blasphemies will belch out of his soul and flow across his lips like lava. Not only will he deify himself and defy God, his ambition will also be to destroy the saints. Look at verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, we've already proven in this study that the church is not going to go through the great tribulation. We've already dealt with that. So who are these saints? Well, they're the Jews and Gentiles are going to come to know the Lord during the Great Tribulation. And we've also talked about the fact that if you ever had an opportunity to be saved on this side of the rapture and didn't do it, you'll have absolutely no opportunity to be saved after the rapture. But there's going to be people who've never heard. There's going to be people born during that time. And so there's going to be so many people saved during the Great Tribulation, the Bible says no man can number them. But the Antichrist is going to pour out every bit of his venom on these new Christians. He wants to purge the earth of every believer in God. He's going to make them face firing squads and guillotines and gas chambers and every kind of torture he can come up with. And this beast will drink his fill of blood. He'll deify himself. He'll defy God. He'll destroy saints, and then he'll want to dominate nations. He's going to have global control. He'll finally get done with what humanists and socialists are trying to do now. He'll bring about a one-world government. He'll do it by dazzling some. He'll do it by dominating others. He'll do it by browbeating some, by murdering others. But he wants to dominate the world. And finally, his ambition is going to be to delude mankind. Look at verses 8 through 10. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Folks, the Antichrist is not going to be against religion. He'll be into religion up to his eyeballs. All whose names are not written in the book of life are going to worship him. The devil's not looking for casualties. He's looking for converts. And today, there's a rise in Satanism and demon worship and occultism and witchcraft like perhaps never before. And the Antichrist is going to be the devil's Messiah. He's going to be the Christ of the cults. He'll be the God of the ungodly. And not only do I want you to see his advent and his ancestry and his ambition, I also want you to see his agent. He's going to have his own press secretary. There in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. Now that tells you something about the nature of the deceiver. He looks like a lamb, but he's got a mouth like a dragon. This is the anti-spirit. Look at verses 12 through 18. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had, or unless he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The devil is anti-God. The first beast, the Antichrist, is just that. He's the Antichrist. But this second beast is the anti-spirit. See, just as the office work of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus Christ, the office work of this anti-spirit will be to make the dragon attractive to those who don't know Jesus. How's he going to do that? Well, he's a master of miracles. Verse 13 says, and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven and on the earth inside of men. He'll be able to set the heavens ablaze. Maybe that's some kind of demonstration of atomic power or something. I don't know. But there's not only the miracle of fire, there's the miracle of the image in verses 14 and 15. Now, I don't know, that might be a television image. We're used to seeing images speak today. Back when this was written, our forefathers, they didn't know anything about images that could speak. Maybe it's a robot, an automaton, or something like that. But however he does it, however he makes it happen, this image is going to speak. Now, first there's the fire, then there's the image, but then thirdly, there's the mark. Verse 16 through 18 tells us that everyone on earth is going to be given a mark or a number on their hand or in their forehead. And without it, you're not going to be able to engage in any kind of commerce. You won't be able to buy fuel. You won't be able to buy food. You won't be able to have medicine. There's no selling, no buying, no living, just dying. And if you're not sealed with the Spirit, You're going to be branded by the beast. And I believe this is all talking about a cashless society, which we are rapidly moving to. A cashless society will control everyone. If I didn't know the Bible, I'd almost be in favor of it. I mean, it's so simple and efficient. It's an inhibition against crime. You just go into the store, you show your mark. It's fast, it's easy, there's no cheating. The computer makes a withdrawal from your account, puts it in the merchant's account. You don't even have to balance your books because the computer will do that for you too. See, the Antichrist is going to turn this world into one vast concentration camp, and every inmate's going to be numbered. We'll deal more fully with that in a different lesson. But before you this morning is the Lamb and the beast. And like Gary said a while ago, Jesus gives you a name. The beast gives you a number. The Bible tells us that Jesus calls his own by name, and they know him. And he knows them. So the big question this morning is, when Jesus does come back, is your name going to be called? Or is your number going to be up? Today you can get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. I hope you'll do it. Our musicians are going to come. And friend, if you haven't ever had a time in your life where you realized you had no hope of heaven whatsoever, that you were doomed to an eternal hell unless you surrendered, gave up, turned the control loose of your life, and gave it to Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Can you look at a time in your life when you said, God, I give up. I've made a mess of my life, and I turn control of this life over to you. And he said he wanted you to make it public. He said, do this before men, because if you won't acknowledge me before men, I won't acknowledge you before my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever done that? That's the first step. When you take that step, he's going to ask you to be baptized and make another public profession of your faith in him. Have you ever done that? And then once you've surrendered your life and been baptized, he's going to commission you. He's going to say, I want you to go into all the world and tell everyone about me. Have you done that? 1, 2, 3. Believe, be baptized, go tell. Or ABC, like they do it in Bible school. Admit you're a sinner, believe in Christ, confess your sins. You ever done that? If you haven't, today is an opportunity for you. And as you've heard me say over and over and over again, today when you leave this place, you're either going to walk over the blood or under the blood. You say, well, I'm just not going to make a decision right now. That is your decision. Jesus said, he who's not for me is against me. You've already made a decision to be against Christ if you haven't come to him. What are we going to sing, Gary?
347.
Hope you'll stand to your feet. Please don't disturb anyone around you. Listen for that still small voice. Because that's the only voice that matters. Anything I can talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of. You need to hear God speak to your heart. That's what I want for you today. Listen to him. And if he's compelling you to come, would you come as we sing? We're just going to sing one more verse and we're done.
We thank you for the word today. We thank you for the things, letting us know about some of the things that are going to happen when we're gone and we're raptured, if we're saved. Lord, and that's my prayer this morning, that everyone in this place right now would make a decision for Christ if they haven't already, and that they would be going to heaven. And that's our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join our hands and we dismiss. Thank you.